Prabhupada's translation. He also created the medical science, military art, musical art, and architectural science, all from the Vedas. They all emanated one after another, beginning from the front face. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Vedas contain perfect knowledge, which includes all kinds of knowledge necessary for the human society, not only on this particular planet, but on other planets as well. It is understood that military art is also necessary knowledge for the upkeep of the social order, as is the art of music. So we have to have not only military art, we also have musical art. Can't keep up society without either of those. All these groups of knowledge are called the Upavedas, or supplements of the Vedas. Spiritual knowledge is the main topic of the Vedas, but to help the human being's spiritual pursuit of knowledge, the other information, as above mentioned, forms necessary branches of Vedic knowledge. Ayurvedam, Dhanurvedam, Gandharvam Vedam, Atmana, Stapatyam, Chastrajad Vedam, Kramat Purvadi Bir Mukai. He also created, he being Lord Brahma, the medical science, military art, musical art, and architectural science, all from the Vedas. They all emanated one after another, beginning from the front face. So here we have knowledge for the Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas, and the Shudras, not mentioned in this verse, is knowledge for the Vaishyas. So a big question is, what kind of a spiritual path are we? Are we a world-denying path? I used to teach sociology of religion at Bhaktivedanta College, and when we look at how sociologists organize religion, they have world-affirming religions that say, God wants you to enjoy the world, he wants you to be prosperous here, it's all about here. And world-denying religions, where people go up to a mountain and don't talk to anybody and just get their food through a bucket, through a hole in the ground. Right? World-denying religions. So what are we? We're both, aren't we? Yes. We don't say the purpose is just to be happy here. And we don't say that we just want to deny the world and live without seeing or hearing or interacting with the world. But I think in our Hare Krishna movement, we tend to emphasize what?
Denying.
The denying. Most of our emphasis in our preaching is on the world denying, which is fascinating because there's at least some indication that Prabhupada said half his mission is for an ashram, which is all about world affirming. Interesting, isn't it? And if you think we're going to, Krishna willing, next week we'll be talking more about Varnashram. And of course, what I've come here for is to take steps to establish a Varnashram college here, which is what Prabhupada wanted in every center. So that's, we're going to be working on that tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday, training people how to help people discover what is their Varna and how they can use that in service. And so both of these are important, right? The Ishopanishad says we have to know nations and knowledge, the temporary and the eternal. Sambhutim, asambhutim. One has to know both. One can't function just knowing one. So most religions in the world don't know much about the transcendence, correct? Not very much at all about the transcendence. What the name, form, qualities, pastimes of the Lord, very little. They mostly know about the Lord's activities just in relationship to this world. And we have to say, frankly, most religions in this world don't even know much about this world. They don't even tell us, like, about the modes of nature. They don't give a full socioeconomic system. So when Lord Brahma is creating the universe, he's creating both. He's creating transcendence and a socioeconomic system. So I just got a message today from one devotee. I haven't responded to it yet. How do I function in the world without becoming contaminated by the world? This is one of the main questions that devotees ask all the time. He said, there's so many, you know, this and that. He's a brahmachari living in a temple ashram, and he's just saying, you know, there's politics in the temple. There's this in the temple. I just want to run away to Vrindavan. How do I deal with it? So the key given in these verses, interestingly enough, is not a key that you might think of, and that is sound. Because all these, this knowledge is manifested from sound, from Brahma's mouth. And this sound, we're going to look briefly, because today's the appearance day of Vamandev. It's also the appearance day of Jiva Goswami that I'm not going to talk about today. So I want to spend a lot of the class on Vamandev. And tomorrow's the appearance day of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So we're also going to do some, because you all voted for that. So we're also going to do some meditation on Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So I'm going to talk about today's verses just very briefly. I do give a whole class on the topic of sound, which is based on a series of classes by Bhaktivigyan Maharaj. So if you really want to go deeply into this, you can look up, do a search for Bhaktivigyan Maharaj Liberation Through Sound. That's a 15-hour seminar, which by his permission, I've distilled down to about an hour. So we also talk about this point of sound. So all knowledge is coming from the Lord through sound. And when we engage in this world by seeing things in connection with that reality and through our absorption in spiritual sound, then our work is transcendental, not material. Although it may look material to others. And of course, we also want to come to ultimate transcendence. We want to ultimately be absorbed in Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world and join him there, correct? Yes? Does everybody here want that? Okay. So that all knowledge is a manifestation of sound is nicely described. It's nicely described by Prabhupada in his purports in the third canto, but mostly in Krishna's instructions to Uddhava in 11:12-17. So the Lord has explained all different branches of Vedic knowledge and all different processes of realization. And Uddhava says, what should I do? And the Lord says, my dear Uddhava, the Supreme Lord gives life to every living entity and is situated within the heart along with the life air and primal sound vibration. The Supreme Lord also assumes a gross form as the various sounds of the Vedas, composed of short and long vowels and consonants of different intonations. What did Krishna just say? He said the Lord's gross form is the... Did I read the verse, everybody spaces out? Or she's just reading a verse, I won't pay any attention. Yes, the different meters and pronunciation which come out of the mouth of Lord Brahma, the gross sound of the Vedas, is the form of the Lord. That's the form of the Lord. Now, in the purport, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Uddhava was bewildered and doubtful because Lord Krishna explained many different processes, such as devotional service, speculative knowledge, renunciation, mystic yoga, austerities, pious duties. And so the Lord wants to tell him what's the best thing to do. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur goes on. Lord Krishna became manifest from the mouth of Lord Brahma in the form of the Vedas. So that's all the Vedic knowledge. Right? What were three types of Vedic knowledge that were mentioned in today's verse 38? Military, music, and architecture. So that's also the gross form of the Lord. The word Vishvara Prasuti in this verse meaning 11:12-17, also indicates that the Lord is manifest within the Adhari chakras, situated from the body of Lord Brahma. And that's what I don't have time to go into today, how the Lord enters Lord Brahma through the Mula chakra, as these sounds, which are originally spiritual, coming up to the Manipuri chakra of Lord Brahma with these sounds, which then manifest as material intelligence or Pasyanti Vak, the intelligence of vision, then to the mind of Lord Brahma, where the sounds manifest as Majjhima Vak, which is the mind, and then out through the mouth of Lord Brahma as Vyakari Vak, which actually manifests all of the gross elements of the world. Going on with Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, the Lord can further be perceived within other chakras, such as the Manipuri chakra located around the navel and the Vasudhi chakra. So this is the Vasudhi chakra. So these sounds come out from the mouth of Lord Brahma. They create the universe. And then Srila Prabhupada explains very nicely in the third canto of the Bhagavatam that this whole material manifestation is created by sound, and it can be reversed through spiritual sound. And he says, our manifestation, our existence in this world also comes from sound and can be reversed by spiritual sound. In the fourth canto, Prabhupada writes about how one should learn this process of creation and use it inversely. So the sound comes up through the chakras of Lord Brahma. It's a form of the Lord in sound that comes up through the chakras of Lord Brahma, manifests as these different items of Vedic knowledge. And how do we reverse it? Through spiritual sound. So first we use our mouth, the gross sounds, yes, to engage it in spiritual sound, especially Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Usually when we first start chanting, we're chanting just with the mouth. And the mind, the other manifestation of sound, is usually going, I want to enjoy the world. And the intelligence, which is in the Manipur chakra, the Pasyantivak, is also saying, I want to enjoy the world. And the soul, the Paravak, at the Mula chakra, is saying, I want to enjoy the world. And gradually we start chanting also with our mind. So not only is our mouth saying, please engage me in your service, our mind is saying, please engage me in your service. Then gradually that wakes up the pasyantivak, wakes up the desire, as Krishna says in 12.9. The purpose of sadhana bhakti abhyas yoga is icha, to wake up desire. It wakes up the desire, oh, I really want to serve Krishna. Then we're chanting on all those levels, and finally we chant on the level of the soul. This then reverses the process of creation. Now, when we are realizing to some extent that everything in creation is actually the form of the Lord, then everything we do in this world can be spiritualized. As Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, in chapter 20, Maya exists only within the mind. Maya is the conception that all of these arts, I mean, not every art is mentioned here, but he creates every art. He's creating military arts, musical arts, architectural arts, I'm sure landscaping arts too. I'm sure agricultural arts. All of the arts. That when we have the proper consciousness by engaging in spiritual sound, when our speaking, our mind, our heart, our very self become reconnected, then we see that everything is the Lord. Sarva kalam idam brahma, vasudevam. Just hearing Prabhupada this morning talk about vasudevam sarvamiti. It's all the Lord. And then there's nothing material anymore. People ask all the time, you know, how do I deal with this? Will you deal with it by seeing it's Krishna? What does Krishna say in 3.9? Yagyartar kamano natra lokoyam karma bandana tadartam karma kantaya mukta sangha samachara. One becomes mukta, one becomes free. Because everything's connected with Vishnu. And then this wonderful 4.24, Brahma parnam, Brahma havir, Brahma agno, Brahma nahutam, Brahma ivatena gantavya, Brahma kama sanaditam. That when you see that everything you're doing is offered in sacrifice to the Lord, then Prabhupada says in that purport, this is the art of turning the material to the spiritual. You can play music for Krishna. You can fight a war for Krishna. You can build a building for Krishna. You can till the land for Krishna. It's a question of changing your consciousness. But we don't want to just do that, because Lord Chaitanya told Ramananda Roy, if you just do that, it remains external. Why does it remain external? Because you could still be identifying with the world. you could still be thinking, I am a Vaishya. I am a man. I am an Indian. I am this, you know, you could still have that identification, you understand? And offering that to Krishna, but you're not completely purified. So one also has to realize, right, Sarvapadiva Nirmuktan Tatparatena Nirmala Rishikesha Rishikena Sevana Bhakti Uchite, that I am a soul. I am in this world, using this world for Krishna, in Krishna consciousness. And one of my favorite verses, it really exemplifies this in 1930, when Bhishma Dev is leaving this world, which Prabhupada translates as, thereupon that man who spoke on different subjects with thousands of meanings and who fought on thousands of battlefields and protected thousands of men stopped speaking and, being completely freed from all bondage, withdrew his mind from everything else and fixed his wide open eyes upon the original personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, who stood before him four-handed, dressed in yellow garments that glittered and shone. So we should live such a life that even though we can speak on many subjects with thousands of meanings, fight literally or figuratively on thousands of battlefields, protecting thousands of people, according to he was a Kshatriya, so depending on our particular nature, that we're engaged in so many thousands of different activities and so many thousands of subjects, that ultimately our mind is fixed on Sri Krishna, who has glittering, shining garments. So I want to talk also today about Vamandev. And as you voted for the full presentation, we're going to go back to the beginning. Okay. So this is a meditation. I've actually worked on trying to do these for all 9 processes, so you please bless me. I've only finished 3 so far. I've just done prayer, friendship, and surrender, and I'm thinking I should do the rest of them. So this is a meditation on the principle of surrender. So we look first at the story of Bali Maharaj and Vamandev, and then the 6 symptoms of surrender with meditation on the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, whose appearance date is tomorrow. And then we're going to look at two of the 64 items of bhakti that relate to surrender, Atmanivedanam and Sharanapati. So first our meditation on Vamandev and Bali Maharaj. So Bali was defeated by the devas, and he actually died. So who revived him? Sukracharya. And then the brahmanas, the descendants of Bhrigu, they were very pleased, and they engaged him in the Visvajit Yajna. And out of the fire came a chariot, horses, a flag, a bow, armor, 2 quivers of arrow. Who's Bali Maharaj's grandfather? Prahlad Maharaj. He gives him an eternal garland of flowers, and Sukracharya gives him a conch shell. With the blessings of the brahmanas, he's able to make war on Indra. And Brihaspati tells Indra, what does he tell Indra? Flee. He says, you're not going to be able to defeat him right now. Don't fight wars you can't win. Don't fight wars you can't win. What do we say? Choose your battles. Choose the battles you can win. Don't fight battles or wars you can't win. So the demigods are like, this is not the right time. You offended your guru, he pleased his guru, so it's not going to work. And the demigods change their forms. They go in disguise. They become invisible and change their forms. If the demigods can do that, then the pure souls can do that, just as a little side note. So then the descendants of Bhrigu Muni, in other words, the brahmanas, engaged Bali in 100 Ashvamedha yajnas. Meanwhile, Indra's mother was not very happy about this. So Indra displeased his guru and the brahmanas, but he had a mother who was a pure devotee. So, and she wasn't happy that her child had lost his job in his house and had to hide out, homeless. So she had 12 days where she performed an austerity to please the Lord. And the Lord appeared before her with 4 hands and yellow garments. And Aditi was filled with ecstasy. She offered full dandavats, one of the several indications in the Bhagavatam about women offering dandavats. A little side political note there. So she offered full dandavats to the Lord, who then says, I will later appear as your son, and I will become Indra's younger brother. And as his younger brother, I will restore his kingdom to him. So Kasyapa, Aditi's husband, is an interesting personality in the Bhagavatam, right? So he's the father of the demigods and even the Lord, and he's also the father of the demons, like Hiranyakashipu. He's also the father of Garuda. He's a very interesting personality. So then Aditi gives birth to Vamandev, who appeared today on Shravana Dwadasi, when the Abhijit star had risen. And he appeared, as the Lord often does, fully dressed, fully ornamented, not like an ordinary baby. He had a dark hue, and he was dressed in yellow garments. At that time, all over the universe, everybody was happy. The demigods, the cows, even the seasons were happy. So he had simultaneous Upanayana and birthday celebration. So usually when a child's born, we don't give them a sacred thread. It's a little too early about when the Lord appears. Of course, the demigods also grow up very fast. So this is his incarnation in the demigods. But they had everything. He immediately changed from his Vishnu form to that of a dwarf. And all the sages were happy with Kasyapa Muni. They performed a birthday ceremony and a sacred thread ceremony. So the sun god Brihaspati, Bhumi Devi, they all honored him. So he was wearing a belt made of munja straw, an upper garment of deerskin, a sacred thread, and carrying a danda, an umbrella, and a water pot. And right away he went to do his mission. Now this doesn't always happen with the Lord's incarnations. So when Krishna appears, how many years does it take between his appearance and his killing of Kamsa? Anybody? Yes, 11 years. Sometimes they say 16. How many years approximately do you think between the time Lord Vishnu told the demigods he would appear and kill Kamsa and the time that Kamsa was killed? I estimate it's about 44 years. So, and there was 11 years between Krishna's appearance and his killing of Kamsa. It's interesting, when he appears to Devaki and Vasudev, Devaki and Vasudev don't say, great, now you're here, you can kill Kamsa. They say, you know, Kamsa's probably going to kill you, like he killed your brothers. Can you look like an ordinary child and we can hide you somewhere? And then the Lord says, sure, you can take me across the Yamuna to Gokula and switch me with Yasoda's daughter. But here we find the Lord appears, and he immediately goes to get back Indra's kingdom from Bali Maharaj. So he appears at Bali Maharaj's sacrifice, and Bali Maharaj thinks, oh, this is a little Brahmana boy. He doesn't recognize him as the Lord. So this is, Bali Maharaj is acting in the category, it's one of the subcategories of the rasa of chivalry called Dana Vira, where one is giving charity to the Lord. Now, you can only do this if you don't know it's the Lord. Because if you know it's the Lord, you can offer yajna, but you can't give in charity. You understand? Yes? Clear? Like when we're offering food to the Lord, that's yajna. When I distribute the prasad, that's charity. But if I don't know it's Krishna, I think, oh, it's a little Brahmin boy, and then it can be charity. So Bali Maharaj washed his feet, put the water on his head, and he felt, oh, so happy. He felt, my whole dynasty for so many generations has been glorified. And then he asks, how are you? Just like we would ask anybody, oh, Hare Krishna, how are you doing? So he asks the Lord, imagine the Lord coming to your place, and you, oh, how are you doing? How are you? And then he says, what charity would you like? Because the system, the old system, was that the brahmanas maintained themselves by charity, not by charging set fees. which meant that society had to be trained to offer charity to brahmanas. Now, brahmanas would sometimes specifically ask for charity, but more often they'd put themselves in situations where people were likely to give charity. Just like when the Pandavas were dressed as brahmanas and they were told by some sages, hey, Draupadi's going to have a swayamvar. There's going to be all this royalty there. They're going to give charity to Brahmins there. Good place to go and collect some charity. Right? So the Brahmin is coming to these yajñas. This was a time that the government would give them in charity. Just like you have in this country, the government, and this doesn't happen in America, but the government here, for example, is funding the Avanti schools. Right? It's giving charity to religious organizations. Of course, in our country, the government also gives money to regular schools. Do we have a window wide open? I know they do that in Germany, but I don't know. Even if it's snowing outside in Germany, they still have the windows open. I'll say it's cold. They'll say, don't you want fresh air? I'm like, I'm not quite that fresh. So he asked Vamandev, he said, I want to give you whatever charity you want. And what does Vamandev say? 3 steps of land according to my measurement, and he's there as just a little dwarf. So where I live, there's a devotee, actually 2 devotees, husband and wife, who are both, I'm not sure if they're categorized as dwarves or midgets. I think one of them's a midget, one of them's a dwarf. But anyway, the lady is very, she's the smallest, she's maybe this high. Maybe some of you know her. Her cookbook is there in the reception area, her Ekadasi cookbook. So she's maybe like this high, and plus her legs are bowed, so her steps are like this big. You know, she has custom-made stairs in her house where the rise is only like this high. Right? The step is like this big. And she has her own little custom-made kitchen where the counters are like this high. And she cooks for the deities in her house. Very exalted devotee. But how big are going to be a dwarf's steps? You wouldn't even be able to put down a sleeping bag. Right? If I think of my friend, you know, her stride is only like this big. So, you know, 3, maybe a meter. You're not even going to be able to lie down. So Bali Maharaj says something very interesting to Vamandev at this point. He says, this is not a good request. He says, you should ask for me something so great that you'll never have to ask for anything else from anybody else ever.
Whoa.
Who's the only person who can say such a thing? Krishna. Can any jiva say, I can give you such a benediction that you'll never need anything else from anybody else ever? No, even if you go to the richest people on this planet, can they say that? No. So Bali Maharaj, he was a little what? A little proud, wasn't he? So the highest thing is if Krishna can give you all opulence and you use it properly. You're using it in his service, as we were talking about with today's verse. If you can have all different kinds of knowledge and all different, and you can use it with a consciousness of the Lord. But if a devotee is saying, Krishna, I want to serve you, but the things they have in this world are distracting them, then what does Krishna sometimes do? Takes it away, right? Just like we would do with a child. So if we give a child a computer and they're using it for their schoolwork and they're using it to learn things, but if they're just, you know, doing nonsense on it and they're neglecting their schoolwork, then what are we going to do? We're going to take it, we're going to say, let's put it over there to get your schoolwork done. So Bali had this mood. So somebody understood what was really going on here. Little delay with the sound there. So that Sukracharya, he understood what was really going on. And he's like, don't do this. This is not a good idea. And Bali said, but I already promised. And Sukracharya said, oh, just lie. Just break your promise. He says, if you want to subdue others, if you're joking, responding to danger, you're acting for the welfare of others. He also says in a marriage, you can lie. So I asked Hari Parsha, what does this mean in a marriage, you can lie? And he says, oh, that's like when you go to a wedding, you can say the bride is beautiful even if she's not. So you can remember this with all the weddings you do here. You're allowed to say the bride and groom are beautiful, even if objectively that's not quite the case. So yes, of course, you can, in times of great danger to protect others, then you can lie. That is a fact. But this was not that kind of a time. Sukracharya thought it was that kind of a time because he said, this is Vishnu, he'll take everything, and if he takes everything, how will you live? But what was he really thinking about? How will I live? You're the one maintaining me. And Bali Maharaj became contemplated, and he said, no, it's the duty of a householder to give in charity. And he thought, if I withdraw my promise from this brahmachari, Mother Earth won't even be willing to carry me around anymore. Even if the result for me is going to be catastrophic, I still have to keep my promise. Said, everything in this world is temporary, but your reputation, your honor, that will outlive you. So he says, yes, you can have that land, and he gives it with water, and then what happens? We have this big delay with the sound for some reason. So Vamandev expanded himself into a universal body. Bali could see that the Lord is all-pervading and that everything rests in his body. Now, of course, that's related to our verses today, isn't it? The universe is the body of God. All the sounds of the Vedas that produce the universe and all the knowledge is the body of God. And then not only he didn't just stand there showing that his body was a universe, he started taking his three steps. He covered the whole surface of the world. By extending his body, he covered the whole sky. With his second footstep, he covered the entire upper planetary system. He reached the top planet of the universe, Brahmaloka, which was diminished in beauty by the effulgence of his toenails. Lord Brahma, Marichi, and the other deities offered prayers and worship. They washed the Lord's lotus feet, and Jambavan played his bugle to vibrate the glories of the Lord. He's all over different leelas, right? So here he is in Vamandev Leela, he's in Ram Leela, he's in Krishna Leela. The liberated soul can do that. Liberated soul can expand and be in more than one leela at a time, and even in different forms. And as his toe pierced the covering of the universe, the spiritual water of the Viraja River comes down as Mother Ganga. But now he says, okay, I've taken two steps. I've covered the whole universe. You're a liar. You wanted not to be a liar, but you were a liar anyway. So Garuda comes, and he ties up Bali with the ropes of Varuna. The demons get very angry and attack the Lord, but Garuda and the other associates of the Lord, they defeat all of them and send them to the lower planets. Lord Vishnu said, where can I put my third step? I've already taken everything. Bali Maharaj said, O best personality of Godhead, most worshipful for all the demigods, if you think my promise is false, I will certainly make it truthful. I cannot allow my promise to be false. This is also Dharmavir. Please, therefore, place your third lotus footstep on my head. It cuts out the first part of the sound. It's like, it's not just delayed, it's like cutting it. So Lord Brahma shows up and begs for mercy for Bali. Bali's wife, Vijayavali, shows up and begs for mercy. And Bali's grandfather, Prahlad, does the same. And so Vamandev says, you may go to the lower planet, which is more opulent than the planet of Indra. I will send my Sudarshan to personally protect you. I'll be there as your doorkeeper. And later on, you can become the Indra. Texas cuts it. So now we're going to have a little meditation on surrender with reference to the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, whose appearance day it is tomorrow. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatan Goswami in Madhya 2299, he said, there are two kinds of devotees, those who are fully satiated and free from all material desires and those who are fully surrendered. Their qualities are one and the same, but those who are fully surrendered are qualified with another transcendental quality, that of Atma Samarpana. So these are the six items of surrender. You know, people often ask, what does it mean to surrender to Krishna? Right? Most of us aren't going to have Vamandev knock on our door and ask us for something where we can physically put our head under his lotus feet. So what does this mean to surrender? So in Madhya 22.100, they're described as acceptance, number one, acceptance of what's favorable, number two, rejection of what's unfavorable, three, conviction that the Lord is our protector, four, conviction that he's our maintainer, five, having no separate interests, no independence in fulfilling our desires, and six, humility. Now, Prabhupada also gives another translation in Nectar Devotion 39. He says, to accept everything favorable, that's number one. To reject everything unfavorable, number two. To believe that Krishna will always give protection, number three. That's all the same. To identify oneself with Krishna's devotees as number four. So that's a different definition. Always to feel inability without the help of Krishna and always to think oneself inferior to Krishna, even though one may have full capacity to perform something on his own as number five. Okay, so we're going to look at each of these in turn. So accepting what's favorable for Krishna. So here we're going to look at the five most potent items of devotional service. That we should engage in the worship of the deity. If we're not personally worshiping the deity, then we should at least come and see the worship of the deity. And in our home, we should have this concept that the deity is the master of the home. The home belongs to the deity. Going to holy places like Mathura or a temple here is also, of course. And this is, we have Radha Gokula Nanda, so this is also Gokula here. We should understand that this whole property is also the spiritual world. And chanting the holy name of the Lord. Associating with devotees. Cuts out the first fourth of all the songs. Oh, well. Studying the Shastras. Just completely, just cut it. It was Prabhupada chanting Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, but anyway. So that's the first item of surrender, to accept what's favorable. The next one is to reject what's unfavorable. So here we have lust, anger, and greed. Trividam narakashyam dwaram nasanamadmana kama krodha stata lobhas tasmadeta tvayam tvajet. And also to give up the four sinful activities: intoxication, meat eating, gambling, illicit sex. Hard to get a picture for that one. That was a real challenge. That's rejecting what's, I hope you don't mind my music. That's rejecting what's unfavorable. Then seeing Krishna as our protector, Krishna as our only shelter. Feeling no one else can give me protection, having this faith as Lord Chaitanya describes in 22.100 of Madhya Lila. Prabhupada writes in his purport to 116.26-30 in the Bhagavatam, he says, unsurrendered souls are not devotees, so there's no particular protection for people in general. The Lord says, surrendering unto him is the guarantee of protection. So I didn't do a song of Bhakti Vinod for accepting what's favorable and rejecting what's unfavorable, so we're going to do it for the other four. So here we have Bhakti Vinod Thakur's song of seeing Krishna as my only shelter. And this is, I like to call this the cow song. So I don't know if you read my book, Essence Seekers, but this is the cow song. So this is where Bhakti Vinod Thakur, who's a gopi, we know he has an identity as a gopi, but here he identifies himself as a cow. He says, I'm one of Krishna's cows, and I know you'll give me protection when we drink the water of the Yamuna, even though it's been poisoned by Kaliya. So I have this nice singing of this song of Bhakti Vinod in English. Which again, we're getting a delay, but anyway. So you lift my vanity. No longer will I find my own security. Like your own treasure, Lord, I know you will guard me too. Knowing how you tend your herd, keep me in close. Again, this is Bhakti Vinod in the mood of being one of Krishna's cows. Thank you. And the fourth is that the devotee sees Krishna as his supreme maintainer and master. He thinks only Krishna will maintain me. Now, Prabhupada also, in an Ishopanishad lecture, defines this symptom of surrender. He says that this one is you introduced yourself with the associates of the Lord, not artificially. When you're advanced, you understand what is your relationship with Krishna, and you introduce yourself with those associates. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song, "Within my mind, I have always been anxious for the maintenance of my wife and children, my own body and relatives. How will I earn money? How will I acquire fame? How will I arrange the marriages of my sons and daughters? Now, through self-surrender, I have been relieved of all anxiety. O Lord, surely you will provide for the maintenance of your own household. Recognizing me as your servant, you will certainly maintain me. While rendering devotional service unto you, I feel the greatest happiness." The fifth symptom of surrender: remembering that one's activities and desires are not independent, being fully dependent on Krishna, acting and thinking as Krishna desires. Unless Krishna fulfills my desires, I cannot fulfill them. Bhaktivinoda's song: the soul inhabiting this mortal body has given up the false ego attached to the word I, for today the spiritual sense of being yours has entered his heart. All my possessions, body, home, servants, brothers, friends, wives, sons, personal belonging, fencing, and gateways. So I have a picture of a gateway. All these things are now yours, for I have become your servant. I am a mere occupant in your house. This is a picture of Vidura accidentally feeding Krishna banana peels and then bringing him bananas. You are the owner of the house, and I am your most obedient servant. My only activity now is endeavoring for your happiness. My will has become merged with your will. From this day forward, Bhaktivinoda has completely forgotten himself. I have become supremely happy by surrendering myself at your lotus feet. Sorrow has gone far away, and there are no more cares. All I see is joy in the four directions. The next symptom of surrender: being very meek and humble. Bhaktivinoda's song: now please hear me, O Lord. I am utterly helpless. Without your mercy, everything is lost. Please give me the shelter of your lotus feet. I drank the deadly poison of worldliness, pretending it was nectar. And now the sun is setting on the horizon of my life. Were you to judge me now, you would find no good qualities. Have mercy and judge me not. Cause me to drink the honey of your lotus feet. So Srila Rupa Goswami talks about Atmanivedanam and Sharanapati. Atmanivedanam is feeling I belong to Krishna. This encompasses accepting what's favorable, rejecting what's unfavorable, acting only as the Lord desires, and being humble. Sharanapati is seeing the Lord as one's protector. So this encompasses seeing the Lord as protector and maintainer. So Sharanapati and Atmanivedanam each encompass different aspects of the six symptoms of surrender. So Atmanivedanam is giving the Lord everything. And Krishna will say, I take charge of your life. I will guarantee to protect you from sinful activities. Prabhupada says, as we give instructions to people we love, so Krishna will also instruct such a surrender devotee who surrenders mind, body, and soul. Surrendering body, like if you sell someone an animal, then the new owner is going to take care. So I've given my body to Krishna, he will take care. Not thinking I have to do anything for pleasure in this life. Krishna will say, I want to make him special and I will take care of him. Giving Krishna my mind, my household affairs, my body, everything I offer to you in your service. You can kill me or protect me. My soul, and this is really heavy. Yamunacharya says, my dear Lord, I may be a human, a demigod, or an insect, but wherever I am, I am surrendering myself to you. Would we say that? Lord, I'm happy to be an insect if I can serve you. Of course, Bhaktivinoda also says this. Sampare vipare jivane marane dai mama gela tuapare. This Atmanivedanam is very rare, not because it's advanced, but because it's hard to do. So even a neophyte can do it, but it's difficult. When it's mixed with pure devotion, we see this in Ambarish Maharaj, who mixed Dasya Prem with Atmanivedanam, and Rukmini, who mixes Madhurya Prem with Atmanivedanam. Then there's Sharanapati. Sharanapati is much easier for most people. Sharanapati is seeing the Lord as protector and maintainer. And this is by body, mind, and words, so a little different categorization. And such a person who sees the Lord as maintainer and protector in body, mind, and words can experience transcendental bliss. As Lord Nrisingadeva says, anyone who prays to me and takes shelter of me becomes my ward. Now, that doesn't mean that Krishna has to give me a lot of money and protection. It means I'm depending on him. Whatever maintenance he gives me, whatever protection he gives me, I accept. So looking at the difference between these two, so as we were saying, it's very easy for most people to do Sharanapati. I'm going to see the Lord as my protector and maintainer, doing Atmanivedanam. Lord, whatever you want to do with me, body, mind, soul, you can do whatever you want, is a little harder. Now, interestingly, those in Vatsalya Bhav are more likely to do Atmanivedanam and not do Sharanapati, because they think, I'm the Lord's protector. I'm the Lord's maintainer. So they're not likely to see the Lord as their maintainer. Although even sometimes they go to the Lord for protection. So we looked at the story of Vamandev and Bali Maharaj, as today is the appearance day of Vamandev, the six symptoms of surrender, and how this relates to Atmanivedanam and Sharanapati. It keeps cutting the first part. So on this day of Vamandev's appearance and meditating on Bhaktivinoda Thakur for tomorrow, maybe we can somehow follow in the footsteps of Bali Maharaj and actually surrender to Krishna, keeping in mind that everything we do in this world is the form of the Lord. And all knowledge is the form of the Lord, and using it as a surrendered soul in his service. Thank you for very much. Anything good in this class is from Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Varga. Anything bad is my responsibility. I hope you can take the good and put aside the bad. Thank you. Hare Krishna. And thank you again, Arjuna, for setting up.